Founded in 1861, the Pittsburgh Brewing Company has experienced every imaginable trial and trouble in its long history. Its story, reminiscent of virtually all those regional brewers that survived both Prohibition and the rise of the macro breweries. There are a lot of ways I could introduce today's beer, but none of them capture the sense of renaissance, optimism, and purpose that seems to drive it better than its own mission statement. And so I quote, "Its mission is to make Pittsburgh proud of its hometown brewery, build on its proud tradition of excellence, produce the best tasting malt beverages in the country, reinvigorate and maintain an iconic brand, create high quality jobs, and provide healthy returns to its investors." Heartwarming, right? Add to that their innovation in packaging, designs, and their linkage to iconic Pittsburgh sports teams, and you've got yourself a full episode of Pickled Eggs and Cold Beer. That's right, guys. Today we're reviewing Iron City Beer. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and kittens, it's that time again, that hour of the week when we all gather together of the warm glow of a mid-oceanic volcanic rift to share a frosty cold beer, consider its place in our history and culture, review it like it was a tourist class flight to Orlando, and probably make some wild, pointless detours. As always, I'm your host, Eric Drummond-Smith, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jason Clayman. What's up, Clayman?
Not much. What's up?
Oh, I'm just here. You've been harassing me for about 2 hours today, so yep. It's going great.
Normal day.
Hey, Cam, you're our guest. Cam Bell is our guest.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, would you like to tell everybody about yourself a little bit?
Not really.
Just like something.
I'm Cameron Bell, mostly from Abingdon, Virginia. lots of other stuff, I guess.
Can you say broad?
I'm a lawyer by trade, I guess. I co-own a little brewery here in Abingdon, Virginia, that we might talk a little bit about. So I know a little bit about beer.
You know, you're familiar with beer.
I am. If I've done nothing else in my life, I've drank a lot of beer.
Excellent. That's good to hear. I've seen you drink beer, so I trust in that. You're a great American. Well, cool. Guys, today we're drinking a beer. Now, I need to go on and apologize before we go any further. Originally, I told Cam we were going to be reviewing Foster's, and he did research like a great American hero, and or Australian, I suppose, as the case may be. And then come to find out, I'm a liar, and we're reviewing Iron City beer today.
It's only because you want to be the smartest and because you did research and tried to undermine everybody else, so you know more.
I believe, if you will remember, today I wrote you and said, we can do Foster's. I went and bought Foster's.
Yeah, so I did secret research instead. So now I'm up to speed, and I have several things to add.
I look forward to it. I'm excited. All right, here we go. I look forward to you rubbing my nose in it.
Can I start with one?
Please, yeah.
I've enjoyed both. What do they call it? Episodes?
Episodes, sure.
Podcasts, casts.
You could call them all those things and more besides.
And the tagline of this is the gentleman's guide to cheap beer. Is that correct?
That was what we were going to call it originally.
That's still on the interwebs.
Where is it on?
I found it on the Google machine.
Google machine?
And my first issue with this podcast is that it's not very gentlemanly.
It's incredibly gentle.
I have come today equipped with my normal bow tie.
Yeah.
And in my bag from a large regional retail chain, I have brought gifts. These don't come from there, but this is going to preview one of my plugs later on. The fine store of Kegley and Company.
Excellent.
Nice.
Excellent.
So I brought bow ties for each of you to be gentlemanly. And since we're going to be on podcast-ish, you'll have to describe them for us, Dr. Smith.
Well, Clayman, you want to describe yours first, actually?
It is pink with white polka dots.
Yes, it matches your
fuchsia.
Eyes.
Fuchsia, maybe.
And Clayman looked at them and immediately had to be the one that was pink with what I believe are swordfish.
I think I have that.
Sailfish or swordfish?
It is a trophy fish of some sort.
Yeah. Certainly a marlin, maybe.
It is a marlin, I believe.
And we're not expected to tie these because it takes me 45 minutes to tie them, or?
Oh, yes.
We have to put them on right now?
I don't know about right now. You
we'll
can
try.
Make a semblance of it.
Well, before the picture, certainly.
Correct. Definitely, yeah.
I look forward to spending 4 hours trying to get this tied.
So doesn't that make you feel more like a gentleman already?
It does. I feel like I'm back in Charlottesville. Yeah, pink is my color. It brings out my cheeks.
Gorgeous. Pink is your jam.
Pink, hey guys, pink's my jam. I notice you're not wearing a pink tie. You are, however.
Well, I'll give you both of my, because I'm a generous person.
Sure, and but you instead are wearing an orange, like a rust orange with blue or black. Is that blue or black?
The signature of Thomas Jefferson, the founder of the University of Virginia.
Thomas Jefferson. Wahoo! And my employer, his ghost is of course still in charge.
I did go to the campus at Charlottesville.
I did too. Yes, but I teach at the campus in Wise. I like how you're like really we want to make everybody listen. I'm gonna come at you, bro.
So you
you're wearing a bow tie. Obviously, you went to the Charlottesville campus.
Do you work for the satellite campus?
No,
Charlottesville's the satellite campus.
Charlottesville's the satellite of the University of Virginia's College of Wise. UVA Wise. Mm-hmm. Send your kids there. I do too. I like them both.
Yes.
I like them both. I wish we were good at football in Charlottesville, but these things happen. Well, you guys want to open a beer?
Yes.
Sure.
All right.
We're not sure if these are twist off. Or...
Yeah, let's find out.
Well, yep.
They're bottle openers.
Yeah.
Well, they're from Pittsburgh. So now I got these in a grocery store in Bristol.
Ooh, it is an opener.
Yeah.
Look, I made my cap pristine so you can keep it.
Oh, that's gorgeous. I'm going to glue it to something. We should glue them to the soundboard.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah. It smells right. Better than Bud Light, I can tell you that.
Clayman has very strong feelings about Bud Light, if you missed that, Cam.
No, I heard all that.
How do you feel about Bud Light, first off?
I don't disagree with his assessment of Bud Light, although, as I'm sure you have heard me say many times, and I'll say many times today, what is your criteria?
It's a fair point. For Bud Light, for measuring Bud Light, or all beers?
Anything in life, but yes, if we're talking about beer and it's the best or the worst, or you're going to grade it, what are you grading it on?
Well, the things that I put on the website, which... I feel like are now canon. That's, you know, like it was a comic
canonical
book.
Canonical reasons.
The canonical website details. I always put appearance, aroma, flavor, mouthfeel, and then a little separate kind of authenticity, marketing, and other factors like X factor stuff. So, all right. What are your all's impressions from the pour and the smell? And
smell seems normal. I mean, it just seems like a normal beer.
Like normal. What does normal mean?
It smells like beer.
Like a lager.
Yeah, like a lager. Because it's a lager beer. In fact, it's actually considered a premium lager if you read the label.
Yeah. I like the smell.
I think that's what they call in the marketing world, beer puffery.
Well, it's all relative, I suppose.
So what's the price point?
This was not, well, I got this. I mean, one thing to remember is normally that you can only get this in Greater Pittsburgh. Down here, I guess, I think it cost me $8.
So how far are we from Pittsburgh?
We are 20,000 miles from Pittsburgh.
So where did you get it from?
I got it from a Kroger in Bristol, Virginia. Yeah, I know. I just encountered it. I'm like, well, I better snatch it. Last one they had.
They have a large microbrew selection.
Yeah.
And imported selection.
And imported imported all the way.
From Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Is Pennsylvania a commonwealth?
It is. Yes. Pennsylvania is a commonwealth. It's Quakers.
So there's something called the BJCP, which is technically the Beer Judge Certification Program. It has style guidelines for each of these styles.
Yeah.
So this is technically an American lager, not an American light lager, and it's got...
Mm-hmm. It's an American adjunct, too, isn't it? It's got...
Well, that's not a separate style with it certainly does have adjuncts in it. But so to my point about what's your criteria, so it has the same things that you're talking about, appearance, flavor, mouthfeel, etc. But when you're comparing it to other American lagers, what is it supposed to be? If you look at, I think you made the point about Miller Genuine Draft had won an award at the Great America Beer Festival, the GABF, which is a big deal. It's like a dog show. It's not what is the best beer. It's what is the best to that
what
style.
Matches that style,
so it's not, if it's a dog, it's not necessarily your best companion. It's the best one to that style of Louvier de Flanders that it's supposed to be.
Do you, what dog does this beer seem like to you? You can taste it now. You're allowed. You could have tasted it before.
And
we're not that formal.
My first impression of it was, and I stuck my nose in it as it was, the head was coming off, was a lot of CO2, which is typical of all these. And I think that's what you've encountered in these other beers. Yeah. But they're heavily carbonated on purpose.
Yeah. That's very American kind of thing. Yeah.
If you've ever stuck your head inside a fermenter when it's just been opened and it's full of CO2, then it sort of gives you a almost passing out sort of metallic. You shouldn't have done that.
That's, you did tell me one day that that's how you hope.
I did not know that.
You told me that's how you hope to die, right? Like you want to pass out from carbon dioxide inhalation.
I got a fair bit of that. But
yeah,
I agree with Clayman. I mean, it's not a whole lot to it. I mean,
it's really simple.
There's not even, I don't get much corn or any really adjunct from it. And I get a little bit of hops in the end. A little bit of grassy sort of German noble hoppiness at the end of it.
You know, sometimes you get like a grapey flavor almost.
Yeah.
This doesn't have any of that. It's pretty clean.
Yeah. I would say this is the Golden Retriever mix of beers.
The golden, so like it might be really good or it might just be really stupid and Chevy Chase kind of hates it and has to pull its tail out.
It likes to ride around in an old
fireplace.
Jeep.
An old Jeep. Oh, what year?
Probably 84.
Oh, that's a good year for Jeeps. All right.
I don't find this offensive in any way.
No, I don't either. It's at the back end, it kind of reminds me a little bit of a Heineken almost. I like the smell better than Heineken.
Definitely.
It does have a nice brown bottle.
Yeah.
It's a 12-ounce bottle, which is somewhat unique.
They're actually about to re-release or redesign. Here, I'll even show you. If you're listening at home, I'm opening up the website of Iron City. And I will definitely, they just rebuilt their website. So actually a lot of the kind of cool stuff that was on there before is gone. But do you see the new design there that they're moving to is, it's very kind of retro. They're moving to that with all of their, I think they have Icy Light Mango, Old German American and Blockhouse American. It's like their bottom of the shelf beer in terms
Icy
of like cost.
Light Mango?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the Northeastern beers are moving towards like these like shandies or at least selling because they sell well. I mean, there's a market for them, so.
Mango, though. Really?
Mango. When you go to Pittsburgh, there's no fruit more associated with the great city of Pittsburgh than mango.
I was going to ask this before. Have any of us been to Pittsburgh before?
I have not.
Why are we the ones reviewing? So we're going to get people from Pittsburgh.
Well,
we know nothing about
Pittsburgh. I have been to Pittsburgh.
You've been to Pittsburgh? I've been through Pittsburgh. I don't think I've actually been.
I've been near Pittsburgh.
Been to the airport twice.
I've never even been to the airport. I want to go. My stepmother lived in Pittsburgh for a long time and got her undergrad at WVU, which is right not far from there. And so, like, she loves Pittsburgh. She talks about Pittsburgh with stars in her eyes. And I've just never been able to go, and I want to because it seems like a city that's kind of like nearby us, Knoxville. It's kind of like having a renaissance. I've never been there, but this is also kind of one of the like legendary mezzo brewery. I don't know if that's the right word for it. Regional kind of breweries. Not only because it has endured for so long. I mean, it was founded in 1861.
Probably not the best year to start a business.
No kidding. Right. And not, and literally not far at all from where the war was raging on. Like, kind of a, I'm actually would be interested to find out more about that. Like if there was something about the war that made them think this is a good time to start it. I don't know. I get into those records and.
Is that where Jeb Stuart was? He was at.
He was in Pittsburgh. Yeah, he was. All he was doing
for
was
almost 4 years. Stayed there. Had a room there.
Had a room. It was in the back, and it was decorated with ornate curtains. But it does have some kind of cool stuff. There. One of the things I think is interesting is they have had a lot of like technological innovations. They've been really big on that, which makes sense given kind of the economic culture of Pittsburgh. So, and I'm on the website. I'm just going to run through their version instead of going to my notes. 1962, the first laptop can was them. So you think about that. That's a fundamentally that alters the market pretty fundamentally. Like you don't have to have a tool to drink beer, which to us seems like no big deal. I know, right?
So explain Snaptop versus other options.
Well, for all the people out there who don't know, but basically before the 60s, if you were going to get a beer in a can, you had to have a bottle opener. So the only thing you really see it frequently used for these days are for kind of like certain kinds of old-fashioned juices, I guess. Like you sometimes see it for tomato juice, you still have to use the same kind of like cans.
Apple juice?
Evaporated milk?
Actually, that's a really good one.
Thank you. So were these bottle openers called church keys?
I didn't think so. Right? No, church keys, I thought, were the other ones.
The ones where you rolled the
Or it was circular, yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know, actually. This we're dating ourselves as not old enough to really talk about it.
Then there was the pull tab.
Then there was the pull tab is a.
What's the difference between the snap top and the pull tab?
I thought those were comparable. I didn't think the pull tab came out until the '70s anywhere.
I'm asking. I'm not an official.
I'm the oldest person here, but I'm not that old.
Are you older than me?
Yes.
We should probably call Sean Ted.
You're beautiful.
Thank you.
No problem.
We should call Sean.
We should call Sean, but then he would be on the phone.
That's true.
We're going to have him as a guest, though. We need to find the oldest beer in America when he comes up.
He'll have it.
He will have had it when it came. Oh, my. It's got to be Yingling for Sean.
Yes.
Sean is our friend, by the way, guys. If you don't know, I mean, we shouldn't just use these inside jokes. Sean is a dear friend of ours.
I thought that was the whole show.
That's sort of what it feels like sometimes. Sean is a dear friend of ours who, if you've ever seen Disney's Ichabod Crane, that's about Sean, basically. Would you say that's an accurate portrayal, Jason?
Yeah, he was probably in his mid-80s at that point.
Yeah, he was young when that show,
when
that story was written. Yeah. Anyways, 1963, Pittsburgh Brewing issued their first bottles with twist-off tops that were resealable. Now, I will admit, I don't know that I've ever resealed a bottle once I've opened it. How about you, gentlemen?
You might have a problem.
You think that you frequently...
I don't know that I've ever seen one that has a...
I've seen 40s that have the twist top.
Yeah, 40s.
But you can twist them back on?
Yeah.
Right.
There are some of them, some are the kind of like traditional stamp-on that you could twist. You have to look at them to kind of tell, but...
Yeah.
Some of the, like, if you look at big Coca-Cola bottles, sometimes those have them, actually, which is kind of weird, but there it is.
You're not talking about the 2-liter plastic bottles?
No. No, I'm talking about, like, if you could twist, if it's a twisty top, if it's a twisty top, it probably will twist back on, technically. You know, you may have to have a PhD.
You know what?
Yeah, what?
You should try it.
These aren't twisties.
How come they did that in 1962 and we're still...
Just because the technology is there doesn't mean that...
Twist back on.
It kind of... Well, no, it's been...
If you have that kind of innovation, then give it up.
Well, because no one reseals beers once they've opened them.
I mean, think about that. Put us on the moon. That sort of thought
process. That sort of thought... Yeah, absolutely.
Thinking.
And think about... Speaking 1969, the year America first put a man on the moon. Arguably the greatest technological success in the history of the human species.
If you believe that actually happened.
Let's vote on that. Who here believes we put a man on the moon?
What do you define the moon as?
Luna, the natural satellite of Earth.
I believe it is.
Yes, I think so.
So Cam is a yes, I'm a yes, and Clayman a grudging maybe.
Yeah, I'm a yes.
Okay, good, good. You don't buy into the Stanley Kubrick thing?
No.
It's almost a shame. That would be it. We'd have a lot to talk about if we didn't.
Yeah, this would go quite some time.
That would be fantastic. We should find... By the way, if you want to sponsor the podcast and you do not believe in the moon landing and you have really deep pockets, we are looking for sponsors. So.
You just change the name of the podcast to something else. Moon Conspiracies.
Moonconspiracies.beer.
It's called NASA in the Desert, 1969.
Pickled Moon Conspiracies. Green cheese and beer, cold beer. And guys, anyways, in that wonderful year, the greatest year of all time other than the others, Iron City Brewing came out with Hop and Gator, which is a flavored beer. It's the first ever malt cooler. So if you like Zima, and I know that, Cam, you're a huge Zima fan.
Obviously.
Yeah, he's got Jolly Ranchers in his pocket.
Yeah, like they rattle. You could always hear him coming down the hall.
He's looking for a party.
He did go to UVA for undergrad.
Exactly, that's the whole point. Zima and cheese and Jolly Ranchers.
Smirnoff Ice.
I've been in my pocket since 1992.
Do you ever play Don't Ice Me, Bro? Do you know what that is?
No, I don't want to know. Don't
Ice Me, Bro is a game where you're at a fraternity party, apparently, and if somebody whips out a Smirnoff Ice and says, "I iced you, bro," the only way to not have to chug the Smirnoff Ice, apparently, is to whip out your own Smirnoff Ice and say, "Don't ice me, bro." And then if you do that, then the person who tried to ice you has to chug both Smirnoff Ices. Now, we do not endorse this. This is a highly unsafe game. But it is the kind of game I believe genuinely that is probably played in the lamer fraternity houses of America.
I was going to ask why you know that, but I don't want to know.
I was told about it by students of Clemson University.
Well, that makes sense. That says it all, right?
It's very clear, right?
Yep.
Granted, I shouldn't be throwing stones because, I mean, I went to got my doctorate at Tennessee where butt chugging became popularized. So. We're not going into that one, though. So the first malt cooler came out in 1969. It was a product of the great city of Pittsburgh. The first draft beer available in a can, 1971.
That's bottled beer in a can. Sorry.
Miller Genuine Draft would be an example. Yeah. So
I'm not sure I understand what that is supposed to mean.
It is cold, pasteurized and filtered. Cold filtered without being pasteurized.
It's filtered for smooth taste.
Wait, Clayman, you've been practicing for this commercial you want to do for Wolf Hills Beer, which is our local brewery that Cam is associated with.
I don't think I have practiced.
No, you've been practicing a lot. Well, do your ad for cold filtered Wolf Hills Beer. Go for it.
Cold filtered Wolf Hills Beer.
Yeah, that was very loud. That's going to really hurt some people's ears.
Fantastic.
Are you going to hire Clayman is what we want to know.
No.
To do television ads.
I work for free, though. Normal.
Still no.
Blow into the microphone. I can't imagine why you don't want him to be the face.
All draft beer in a can really just is nonsense. That really doesn't make any sense.
No, it's insane. What about in a bottle?
It just isn't a thing. I mean, all the beer comes out the same way, and then all draft means in America now is that it is put on tap as opposed to. But when we keg beers and when we can beers, they come out of the same thing. They're the same beer. There's not all beer is draft beer.
But you don't.
So it's a conspiracy.
Some people actually argue that. I've read that on some of the boards and stuff. Yeah. Some people, I will say that there's a big question. You know, some of the macro breweries, what they do is they do pasteurize. They heat pasteurize, and that's generally kind of understood. You all don't do that, right? No, that's why your beer tastes good.
But we don't filter our beer either.
No, that's why I always find like flies. And...
that's why.
No, that's not true. That's not true. It's wonderful. I love their stuff.
And the mouse of our beer.
God, that just is a sign that it had a good life and a great end. That's how you want to go is carbon dioxide poisoning and falling into a beer vat. That's in its will, guys. It's weird. 1974. Iron City Beer. Thanks, Clayman, for filling in that blank spot.
We thought you had a seizure or something.
I felt like I was having one.
You're welcome.
You're great. You're a great co-host. The first brewery to print scenes that are commemorative, basically, for sports teams. Is Iron City.
Like Wheaties. Like Wheaties did with athletes.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
If you were the Pittsburgh Beer and you had the Steelers in the 70s, wouldn't that be on every can that you had all the time? It would be on everything you had.
It was on a lot. And, of course, the Pirates were solid at that time. And the Penguins are frequently on them. But when you think about it, it's actually a really brilliant marketing strategy. A lot of people who might be like, Mama Hoo Hoo, I'm getting that beer when they're in the choice, will say, oh, I want to collect this. You make it, in essence, into Breweriana, which is not Rihanna related at all. Uh-oh, wait a second.
Can I show you something that I found on their Instagram page when I was preparing for this?
Absolutely.
This is part of my research. You have to fill this in because then it went away.
Oh, it disappeared. Really?
Eric. Define what Breweriana is.
Breweriana is basically all of the different art and collectibles associated with breweries and beer companies.
So signs, cans, pitchers.
Yeah, exactly. Bottles.
You're on 1974, so in 1976 they created this can.
All right, one second. Oh, that's awesome, Clayman. Look at that.
Wow.
Who is that with the beard? Is that Jesus?
I don't think so.
That's the West Virginia Bicentennial can.
Yes.
1776.
So 1776.
Are you not entertained?
1976. Bicentennial. 200 years. America. You were alive.
Well, here's what. Wait a second.
I assume that they did more than one state, and that's just the West Virginia version of 1776.
That they've got to have.
But that is the West Virginia version.
That's absolutely. There's the capital.
The Bicentennial can.
I wonder if they... Oh, my God. I would pay obscene amounts of money for this.
$6-$7?
It is. If you don't know, I am a West Virginia native. That's amazing. That's kind of... Wow. What's really weird is it's bicentennial, and yet it is one state, as you say. And that's. I wonder if they just said it maybe for West Virginia and Pennsylvania, or like West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Maryland, maybe, you know? If you know about one of those on the World Wide Web, let me know, and I will probably spend too much money
on
that.
Shouldn't you ask Iron City Beer if they want to be sponsors of this show and donate one of those cans?
Well,
or a case of them, maybe?
We will gladly allow Iron City to be our sponsor. I would be very proud to...
If they sent you an unopened can of beer from 1976 with West Virginia beer in it, would you drink it?
Is that the condition for me keeping the can?
Yes.
Yes. And I want you to know why I know this is true, why I know I can handle this emotionally. Mike Mason, who was a guest a couple weeks ago, not long ago, were you part of this, Clayman, when he found the beer?
Yes.
What kind was that?
Miller Lite.
So it's a Miller Lite from 98?
It was, wasn't it? Miller Lite?
I think it was Miller Lite. I think you're right. He was moving, basically, and found an old cooler or refrigerator that had this beer in it. And it was literally a 20-odd-year-old beer. And so he saved it until a moment where several of us were gathered together for football. Was that the night of the Tennessee-Virginia Tech game?
It may have been.
Poured it into small glasses.
Like a fine wine.
The odor filled the air.
Like a fine
aged
cheese.
Yes. And we all drank it. And we all made various sounds of curse words. No, that was the Virginia Tech Alabama game we watched that. Because we did that at Neil's. Anyways, no one cares about that. What they do care about is that we, watching football, drank a beer that may have poisoned and killed us. And it did not. We all survived, every one of us.
Yep. Still here.
Still here. It did lead to some prayers. Anyways, so in 2005, yeah, the first aluminum beer cans.
Bottles.
Beer bottles were produced by Iron City.
When I was doing all my Foster's research in error because of you.
Yeah, because of my fault.
I practiced all my saying aluminium.
Would you like to say that?
Aluminium.
I don't know that I can say that well. Aluminium. I'll tell you what, tomorrow at trivia, I will say aluminium.
Awesome.
Guys, they were the first to distribute beer in aluminum bottles on a large scale. I guess some people have been experimenting with it. But I actually have an academic article I found on that.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Well, I always go, for every one of these beers, I go to Google Scholar and look to see if there's anything interesting.
Who wouldn't?
Well.
Who would just go to the website? That's not a good place to start.
I know. I do start at the website. The last thing I do is Google Scholar, Jason.
Good for you.
You were the worst co-host. Anyways, and I found this article. I'm going to read it. It's got a great tagline, Jason. You're going to love it. Erica Marie Augustenberg, Alumina versus Glass, Which Beer Bottle Stays Cooler Longer? She read this at some kind of engineering conference. The AICHE Engineering Conference in 2005. Yeah, let's all figure out what it
is. And Chemical Association.
It's AI, not AL.
Engineering.
The I is for engineering. Okay.
Correct.
CH is chemical.
Chemical.
And the E is?
Electricity.
Nailed it. She was an undergrad at Bucknell University and decided to study beer cans. And what Iron City had been claiming was that the aluminum bottle actually kept the beer colder longer, for 50 minutes longer than a glass bottle.
50 minutes longer?
Yeah. And she showed definitively through experimentation that that was not true.
What a great way to research.
Why start with 50 minutes? Why not say 7?
Like, yeah, if you would think,
yeah.
Why would it? Why?
30 minutes, yeah.
And what's funny is I found the article and I was like, well, yeah, metal gets warmer or cooler faster than glass, always. Like, everybody does that, right? I don't know. I'm going to write
it. I guess it's the fact that it gets cooler quicker. So if you're in a place where you can't buy where it's cold, the beer gets colder quicker.
But that is not what they claimed.
They said it stayed colder longer. And they were wrong.
That was a mistake.
Are you still willing to have them be the sponsor of your show?
I am.
Spreading falsehoods.
Well, the leaders
dispelled by undergraduates at conferences.
Listen, first off, anything that encourages undergraduates to engage in academic achievement based upon their beer drinking, I approve.
Maybe that was their purpose then.
To sell more beer.
The golden ticket. Somebody to figure out.
They were the Socrates of beer making.
Does she work for Iron City now?
You know, I actually haven't gone to look her up. I may see if she's on.
Does she work for Iron City all along?
There we go. It's a conspiracy. Cam is into these conspiracies. Right.
Hey, Cam?
Yes.
Got an important question.
Who do you
think killed President Kennedy?
These are all Cam-spiracies.
I can't divulge that information.
Well, I have the Cubans. He's got a shirt that says it, guys. Erica Marie Augustenborg, I'm sure you're listening. I'm sure you're a big listener. I've got a link to your paper on the website. Please hit us up on Twitter.
Give Erica a call.
Give me a call. We will not be giving out my phone number on the podcast.
We will not. Listen for the next 15 minutes.
Oh my God. But your research has not been falling on deaf ears. So there's that. So, God. So you all have finished your first beers. Are there anything else that kind of stands out that you want to get to? Were you all aware of this beer before I brought it to your attention?
I've read a couple of Google Scholar articles on
it. Sure. Sure. You got a J store.
Right. I was certainly aware of it being a Pittsburgh beer, but I don't know that I've ever even seen it before.
I've not seen it locally nor regionally that I'm aware of.
Yeah, my plan had been to have my stepmother's family get me some and send it to me, and so running into it was incredible good luck.
Of the four gas stations that I shop at, mm-hmm. for everything that I buy, mm-hmm.
So you only buy things from gas stations. That is correct. Something you do want to put on. That is canon.
Clothing.
Which gas station do you shop for your clothing at?
Just whatever I can find.
You do, though, sometimes like to get airbrushed stuff, right?
Definitely.
Cam, how many of your garments are airbrushed?
Percentage-wise. So it doesn't have to be a
That's very number. Fair, yeah.
I'd say 0.0%.
Do you have... Airbrushed. If Clayman and I chipped in our money, bought a white bow tie, took it to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and had it airbrushed for you, would you wear that to work?
In Pigeon Forge, maybe. Probably not Gatlinburg.
But you want a high end. All right. Yes. You guys, you heard it. This is a promise. This is Cam's promise.
You have to buy us gold passes to Dollywood.
I'll never do that. That's, I cannot afford that. No, I know it does. Yeah.
And parking.
Wow. You've researched that as well.
I did pick up other gifts today. These are just sort of random. Oh my god.
What the heck was that? It sounded like a cannon went off.
Fireworks.
It's not even dark outside.
So I was at a large regional retailer today, in Grundy, Virginia, which happens to be a two-story version of this particular store that has two escalators and a little thing, escalator for your cart.
Yes.
Do they have a gas station?
Yes, attached. Now, actually, I think it's a double quick attached to that.
Okay. So I was going to say, because if they did, Clayman could shop there technically.
I did buy hummus, and I was looking for other things. And
hummus?
I was thinking, since we're talking about Pittsburgh, that on an off chance in a big store like that, they might have Steelers gear, and so I was looking to see maybe if they had that, but they didn't. But they actually had a Hawaiian shirt that had cats and kittens and red, white, and blue riding on rockets as a Hawaiian shirt. But sadly, they only had mediums left.
Yes, I have not worn a medium since 7th grade.
Yeah, so I did get you this Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, my God, that's gorgeous.
That's very nice.
That's a very nice Hawaiian shirt. I like that.
It's an actual Hawaiian one. It's got Hawaiian dancers.
There are dancers? Where are the dancers? I see ukuleles.
There's a
sexy lady. I respect it. Thank you very much.
And,
you've really gone to the
I'm surprised that we got into this, but speaking of airbrush, I couldn't leave Clayman hanging, so I got him a good vibes only Bob Ross shirt.
Nice.
Wow.
That is awesome.
And it is tie dyed.
Isn't that gorgeous?
That's stunning.
I'm gonna wear that to work one day.
There you go.
Clayman. All right. Here's a good question. If we went and bought, and Clayman and I chipped in our money, bought a white bow tie, and got it tie-dyed, would you wear that to work?
Absolutely.
So there's no hesitation about the tie-dye.
That's right.
We can make that happen.
We can absolutely make that happen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, guys.
Can you shame Brent Treesh and Mr. Roche, and I guess you've had Mr. Mason on before me, for not bringing any gifts?
Definitely.
Dude, Mr. Roach would, or not Mr. Roach, Mr. Treesh would not even eat the Vienna sausage we gave him.
He did eat a saltine cracker.
He ate a saltine cracker. He ate one cracker and would not eat a Vienna sausage.
I think he maybe had more than one.
He did. He had several because he was like, I need this Miller Genuine Draft Demand salt.
Which is a good point.
It's a fair point.
Are we talking about beer?
Yeah.
I thought my last sip of it was very extracty, syrupy, corny, but the rest of it wasn't not quite that bad.
Actually, let me hit the ingredients before we go to break, and I'll see.
I think temperature obviously is going to change it, but
yeah,
it's not as much of a change as the others that we've had before.
Yeah,
the MGD and things like that.
The ingredients, actually, that's right. I was telling you about this earlier, Clayman, and I meant to bring this up. I cannot find a list online of the ingredients. Which is a very unusual thing. They're not on the bottles.
It's a conspiracy. Cam called it.
But my guess is, if you're tasting the corny sweetie at the end, it's probably corn syrup, which is really common.
Absolutely. There's definitely corn adjunct in it, and it's probably brewed with malt extract and some other things, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, everybody. Are you all ready for a break?
Sure.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to be refreshed. Clayman is going to tie his tie, and I'm going to try to tie my tie. And we've got a nice pairing, and we're going to talk some more about Iron City. We'll drink one right from the bottle. So we'll be right back. Okay, everybody, we're back. Oh my God, we're opening our second beers, the ones we're going to drink from the oh, that was beautiful. That was gorgeous, actually. Yeah, you should be a— could you pass the bottle opener? I'm sorry. No, that's okay. You should be a Foley artist.
No, we did not do, which is also a faux pas.
That's right.
Cheers. We didn't toast. Yeah. God and St. Andrew, guys. Prost. It's a little more kind of Grolschy on the front, or Heineken-y. That kind of—
hasn't breathed.
Yeah.
And that's a skunky flavor that you're describing, which typically is associated with green bottles, and this has a nice dark brown bottle.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's—
but it is brewed in Latrobe.
It is brewed in Latrobe. That's something we haven't talked about yet, is it? Yeah.
Rolling Rock is brewed there, or was.
It was. Rolling Rock, one of the great— if you get online and you look at like the websites and stuff, the coverage by Iron City loyalists, they're— that is so loud. Clay, stop! God. All right. Then you see there's a lot of— that is foreshadowing. Then you'd see there's a lot of debate basically over whether they should stay loyal to Iron City because of the fact that it is now no longer made in Pittsburgh or even metropolitan Pittsburgh. Technically, it's in Latrobe. When Rolling Rock was purchased, it was moved to— I believe it's now brewed in New Jersey. It's not even brewed in Pennsylvania anymore, which is when we do that episode, actually, it's quite interesting, some of the dilemmas about whether it tastes the same and so forth. But so Iron City moved into the Rolling Rock facilities and is now made in Latrobe. So those glass-lined vats that Latrobe was kind of famous for, Iron City is now the beer made in those. So
the glass-lined tanks of Latrobe.
Yeah.
Well, but that's not the only thing made there. There's lots of other beers made there too.
Right. Yeah, there are other beers that are contracted there. Yeah.
So is that the City Brewing Company that facility in Latrobe, or is it a different one?
That is— it is, I believe it is owned now by Iron City Brewers. And so that is their principal manufacturing now.
Because when they— you know, a contract brewery is just— you have some other brewery that has lots of extra capacity to brew your beer for you, and all you are basically is a— in this case anyway, some of them do it for excess capacity.
Yeah.
In this case, Iron City is basically just a marketing company. They have all their beer made by—
well, I believe they actually own— hold on, I got the timeline. It's not like Pabst. Pabst actually doesn't manufacture anything anymore. They just own the labels and recipes. All right, so 95, Keystone Brewery. This is my secret research. Yeah.
Google secret scholar.
Google secret scholar. All right. That really starts to change. 1974, you see they acquire several different kind of regional Midwestern brands, including Augustiner, Mark V, Robin Hood, and so forth. They merge from 1986 to 93 with Bond Brewing out of Australia. That falls apart, basically, and Keystone Brewing acquires them in 1995, basically at bankruptcy court. In 2005, the same year they introduced their aluminum bottle with Alcoa. Aluminium. I apologize. They actually declared bankruptcy. Apparently, the aluminium bottle, too expensive, guys.
It doesn't stay cold.
Does not stay cold.
Not for 50 minutes. Longer.
No, absolutely not. And then they were basically purchased by a group of investors who are largely from Pittsburgh called Unified Growth Partners, who returned the company, everything back to its original name and formal labeling and stuff like that. And then in 2009, they moved brewing to La Trobe. They bought up the La Trobe brewing facility. So they are not contracts, but they contract out for other people like Drummond Brothers and so forth.
Unified Growth Partners, I think UGPS. Isn't that what they went by?
UGP. I think UGP.
Okay, I thought it was UGPS.
That's an easy mistake to make. Anyways, we're definitely moving on from that. But they're definitely not in their original brewing. But it is, like, when we talk about Pabst, basically anything owned by Pabst is contract brewed. They do not have a brewery of their own, which is kind of an interesting recent history, like 15-year history. So
when you talk about this, and I think this is one of the interesting things about this, particularly being a super-focused regional brewery. Mm-hmm. So what I had seen recently is that Iron City accounts for 100,000-ish barrels.
Mm-hmm.
And barrels and beer, everything's measured in barrels and beer, what you and I would call a keg, which is technically a half barrel keg is 15 and a half gallons. A barrel is 31 gallons. So 100,000 barrels is a pretty decent sized regional brewery. Highland in Asheville is a little bit bigger than that now, but that's roughly that equivalent size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a decent size, particularly for something centered around that particular city.
Yeah.
But as you said before, so all this started in 1861
with
some German immigrants who probably brewed very authentic, if that was Bavarian style or
Pilsners and Bavarians and ales. Ales were very, very popular. So
the Bavarians are more focused on malt. They're big malt guys, Bock and Oktoberfest, etc. The Pilsners are lighter, and if you go to Germany and Austria and those parts of the world, they have these pristine, really malty tasting, but very clean, very tasty.
Very like dry at the back.
Pilsner styles. So at some point, that's what they were making. Of course, this is the 1861, so they don't have all the machines and that sort of thing, the cold crashing and all the things that we can do.
The yeast precision and
pasteurization, etc. But at some point, they switched all this over, and this is what you've talked about with all these other beers, to this syrupy, adjunct, cheap beer, which isn't what any of these immigrants came to found at the middle of the war between the states to start this brewery and beer based from their homeland. So why is that? You've got this beer that's centered around this one place. You got it started by Germans based on a specific thing from their homeland, and it's been homogenized into Americanism like all these other beers that you've seen. So why is that? What is it about America that we've done that to? And you could extrapolate that to
a lot of stuff.
Cheapness obviously is a thing, and you can see that from the manufacturer's side.
But even in more expensive American lagers, you see that there's still a convergence towards that.
But you can't save money as a manufacturer unless people are buying it. So what is driving the people who like this kind of beer, Iron City or Miller Genuine Draft or Bud Light or all these things? Why do they sell so much of this product that you guys have rated as 1 and 2 stars, and there's no question that they sell more.
They're
than
the dominant
in the world.
Why?
Who likes it, and why do they like it?
Well, they're very popular in North America. They're very popular in East Asia, actually, and in Australia and India. That kind of beer is very, very popular. I think part of it is, and all largely founded by Germans in all those countries, not exclusively, but to a substantial degree. I think you start to see part of it is that there is a taste convergence, that there are people who just like that idea of the beer you can drink several of, you know, that is not overwhelming on the palate, that is not dramatic, that's not what they're looking for. They want to get a little drunk, but not be drinking water. So something a step beyond that, you know.
And you've made the point about going fishing or mowing your lawn or playing golf or whatever, and you want to mm-hmm. be in a situation where you can keep your wits about you when you're drinking for hours at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I see that, but you can have lots of good beers that are lower in alcohol.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That are made of quality ingredients and well brewed.
Absolutely. It's like Qingdao. We reviewed Qingdao not long ago, and I think that's a very good tasting beer with a similar ABV to like kind of these less expensive, like say a Miller Genuine Draft or something. I would definitely pick it. Would you agree with that claim? And that you?
Yeah, I think it comes down. The bottom line is, you know, the dollar figure for most people, at least today.
And, I think that's part of
it. It's availability and it's also habit.
Habit is a huge part of it. I think marketing is a huge part of it. The American, well, you mean the you basically have three major beer multinational corporations that since the 90s have come to dominate utterly the market, and that certainly has had some effect. But even before that, like, I think the single most important event is Prohibition.
Absolutely.
I mean, it destroyed Americans' sense of variety in beer. And there was, and what's a lot of people don't know, Canada had a prohibition before the American prohibition. So that's a 1-2 punch in North America, that you get a lot of people who basically, they would drink whatever beer they could get kind of on the sly. These were cheap. They're already going to be price inflated. Lagers were. And so like when prohibition ends, then you go right into World War II again, restricted ingredients. That's actually pushing more move towards adjuncting. World War II does. World War I had some effect too, if you actually kind of look at different breweries, but some of the older ones. But I think it was Prohibition and combined with the World Wars lead this kind of desert where we forget to drink ales, where we forget to drink, like we just don't drink them. And it's taken literally decades for us to regain a sense of variety in beer.
And two things that the craft beer movement has affected in all this. One is the price point.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. you've seen InBev and some of these other big breweries, big conglomerates, raise the prices of Bud Light. Is not the price that it once was.
Yeah. No, no.
Slowly raising the prices of that because craft mm-hmm. beer has dominated a bigger price point. And they've been in favor of that. And they've gobbled up, of course, lots of regional craft breweries to add that to their arsenal, and that's been part of it to yeah. raise the price. But it is this idea of brand loyalty mm-hmm. and brand identity, particularly in something like Iron City. So you're from Pittsburgh. If you saw one of the videos on their website, it's a bunch of dudes smashing a railroad tie. With
yeah, we're going to have a link to that on our website. So yeah, we've got a link to that.
That's what they identify themselves as, and actually the group that owns Iron City now is affiliated with a mining company, and they've got pictures of miners on there too. So you've got that, and you have, you know, this idea of people who, I'm an Iron City guy, and that's all that I'm ever going to drink, and I'm not going to change anything ever. And what the craft beer movement in part has done, somewhat to its detriment, is everybody wants to try what's new. Oh, I've had that. You know, you said before, Hop Slam.
Yeah.
I've had Hop Slam. I've had Pliny the Elder.
Yeah.
I've had Two Hearted. I've had all these other great beers. I know they're 5-star beers, but I've had that before. I want to try something else.
Yeah.
And that blows marketers and particular wholesalers' minds that you aren't a Iron City guy anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think it's made things like, You see in for instance, in New Orleans, I've been reading about Dixie beer, which is another regional beer. In New Orleans, Dixie and who is it, Abita is down there. Mm-hmm. They're basically in this kind of war to be the regional beer featured in New Orleans professional sports, because that is a guaranteed way to say somebody's going to buy that beer. For exactly that reason. Like you cut down on the selection, therefore you can market to it, therefore you can plan, and design your logistics for it. Here's, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you go in and open that bag, Clayman, and do a real loud, guys. The food we're pairing with today is a Snyder's of Hanover pretzel.
Clayman, read the side of the package where they disclaim affiliation with Snyder.
Where does it say it? Yeah. I look for Snyder's of Berlin as well.
Wow. We are not connected with Snyder or Berlin.
Yeah, so they were Berlin, Pennsylvania. They merged for a while and then they separated and then there were suits right over it. Is that what you said earlier?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lawsuits?
Lawsuits.
Lawsuits of
play. Yeah, absolutely. These are like the old time pretzels, so they're the larger kind of like a handful. Now, our friend Erica's here. Erica, would you like one?
Thank you.
Would you like to say something on microphone? I didn't even ask, and I feel rude now.
Hey,
Erica. Football. It's wonderful to see you. She is. Always. She seemed very excited to be here. So I'm getting a nice bite of this.
Surprised you had
her
to say anything.
It's the
staff,
of course.
It's nothing fancy. It's a simple pretzel, but it goes well with the beer, I think.
Delicious.
Yeah. I think salt and lagers just go well together.
And again, this is not Snyder's of Berlin pretzels.
No, Snyder's of Hanover. Nothing against Snyder of Berlin. We would gladly allow either of these corporations, these fine American companies, to sponsor us.
They ought to battle it. Like, who's going to bid higher? Snyder of Berlin without the S or Snyder's of Hanover?
I'll tell you what, whoever wins, we'll do a custom high quality ad for you every week that features Clayman saying things like this.
Hello.
Yep. There you go. All right. So we're putting on this Ray. Have you seen this commercial yet, Clayman?
No.
This is the Tell 'em Ray commercial that you were referring to a minute ago, Cam. And you can't hear it, of course, but you can, we have this on the thing. So there's Ray. And it's a bunch of guys hitting a railroad track with sledgehammers.
Looks like Ray might be in prison.
It does. And they're just hitting the railroad track with hammers. Now, is there a reason to hit a railroad track with a hammer like that?
If Ray tells you to, yeah.
Like,
but you wouldn't be hitting the actual track. You'd be driving the nail.
You'd be driving the spike.
State spike.
Yeah, or you might hit it on the side to move it back into place. But what they're doing is crazy.
They're
destroying private property. And it basically, he's like, listen, we drink Iron City because we're badasses.
That's a federal offense, I think.
I think it is. This could not be, I don't even know when this ad came out. I couldn't find out when it came out.
You should call Ray and ask him.
I would love to. Ray looks like, I don't know what pin he's in, but Ray's going to come to my house and beat my ass now. But it's like, oh, Iron City. It's delicious. It's hardcore. So, yeah, I don't know. There are some other Iron City commercials, but that's obviously the one that kind of stands out. This is a great one. There's one from 1979 where first they make fun of Detroit. Can you see that, Cam? I'm sorry.
Yes, I can see it.
It has a picture of Stroh's and it says made in Detroit. And I remember the voiceover was like, don't drink foreign beers. The irony of saying something from Detroit is foreign in the 21st century is amazing. And then there's all these white people who are like, yeah, we made this here and it's great.
Is that a shot glass beer mug?
That's what it looks like.
It kind of looked like it, yeah.
Well, that actually, why wouldn't you have Terry Bradshaw in every ad? Or Vince Swan, or Franco Harris, or who's the baseball player? Roberto Clemente?
Well, Roberto Clemente died horribly engaged in public service.
Right. Obviously before that. Prior to the accident.
You know, what's interesting, I can't really find ads, and this isn't to say they didn't exist, but I can't find any ads that are before the 1970s for Iron City, which is kind of interesting. There is, however, a mixed drink associated with Iron City that I was not able to acquire the other ingredient of, or I would have had them for us to be our kind of our going away beverage. It is a kind of Boilermaker, which uses Imperial whiskey as the shot, and Iron City is the beer you put it into.
Is Imperial a brand?
Imperial is apparently it's a regional brand from Pennsylvania.
I'm sure it's lovely.
Well, it's called an Imp and Arn. When you order an Iron City, apparently you say, I want an Arn. So let's all try that. Let's practice. We tried aluminium.
Aluminium.
Arn.
Could I get an Arn in an aluminium bottle?
Eric didn't Arn his pants.
No, I didn't.
Is Pittsburgh in Appalachia?
According to the Appalachian Regional Commission, it is. It's certainly in the Appalachian Mountains.
Did they incorrectly say Appalachian in Pittsburgh?
I have heard both from people from Pittsburgh. And I'm not sure what it is the delineation for. Now, here's the one where a guy, this is from like the 70s, and he's like, listen, it's not hard to tap a keg. You should be buying kegs and not cans or bottles from Iron City. So he's got. I know.
What is that?
That's a keg tap.
Like a chalice.
Yeah. So he's gonna. The commercial he shows people.
Scepter. What is that?
That is the. He's putting the sword back in the stone.
Yeah, he removed that from the stone.
Yeah, and he's tapping the keg now. Now here comes his wife.
Wow.
Who looks like alien Sigourney Weaver. But with
she has
huge
the biggest hair I've ever seen.
Like, it's crazy, right? How much teasing was involved?
You're not actually seeing the beer come out of the tap from that
no.
keg, are you?
No, it's a mystery. Pour on the iron.
Pour on the arn.
Arn, I'm sorry, thank you. Pour on the arn.
Tap.
You want to, let's I'm going to play that seen. Again.
What do you guys thought about getting that?
It was like a golf club scepter something. I don't know what it even was.
It looks like a bar tap.
It's called a beer wedge.
Tap almost.
In a golf club.
Do you think vampires could use those? They could jam them in somebody's chest.
Yeah, it sort of looks like Grandpa from the Munsters with a yellow shirt on.
I bet people from Pittsburgh, if anyone listens to this, they're like, it's some famous person we should all know. Was he a Steelers coach or a
Paul from down the street?
It's just Paul.
I still don't understand what that tap is. That is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
It's just tall.
Maybe it's made of arn.
It's certainly made of arn. Look, here comes his wife again in a bikini. Is that what that is?
Behind him?
Gender bias. Yeah, you could kind of see him filling. He's filling it right there. You can see the golden bubbles. Oh, look how happy she is. Seriously, guys, these ads are all on the website, pickledeggsandcoldbeer.com. You should absolutely check them out.
It's a lot more enjoyable when you're actually here watching and not having you describe them on.
I was thinking
the interwebs.
I don't understand how that's possible.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you would rather see the ads while they're being described.
Probably. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, technology doesn't allow us to do that. That's why we put them on the website, so people can go, oh, I wanted to be
you
a part
put
of
it on
this.
On your Snapchat.
How about
on my Snapping chat? We don't have a Snapchat
yet. Iron City yet. Little League ad. How great is that? Beer and Little League.
Is that an Iron City? Is there really? Holy sh! I haven't even seen this one. Let me write this down.
Beer in Little League.
Because I'm clearly
going to. Bears thing?
I mean, you know, under 12 baseball, everybody gets a six-pack.
I've never seen this. Clayman has just cited this as an additional link on YouTube. So we're opening it up. Iron City Little League. Clearly, I'm going to link this on the website. So there's a man in a hat that doesn't fit. I like baseball with children.
He has on like the standard 70s baseball uniform.
Yeah,
like
he does.
Baseball jersey with the white front
pants.
And the random trucker hat.
Like the coach's shorts, it almost looks like.
Right.
And he just keeps hitting that. He's hitting the ball.
He's doing
batting practice, it looks like, maybe.
They're taking infield.
Yeah.
But you can't.
That's because there's no one else there. It's not really infield. Which is Chad.
Why does he have a C on his hat?
He's a big Cubs fan.
The kids just threw the ball at him.
They tried to kill him. The children tried to kill him. Is that the guy? Wait, is that Sam from what's the one where the guy keeps jumping from one body to the next?
John Malkovich?
No. It's a TV show.
Sam the Sham?
TV show where the guy...
Quantum Leap.
Was that Sam from Quantum Leap?
No. That's Sam Rockwell. How dare you, sir?
You don't think that is Sam from Quantum Leap?
That is not.
I think that is his brother. I think it's his brother.
That's his brother, Pam.
Incorrect.
I want it to be Sam. Well, guys, look at those pants. Those are great. All right. Well, let me see. What else do we have here? I think we're really at a place. Is there anything else you all want to really bring up or talk about? Before we get into the...
Yes.
Before we... Oh, you do? You have something else? Oh, okay. Before we get into the ratings, I will give you all the Beer Advocate and Untapped and Rate Beer. Beer Advocate gives it a 2.51 of 5. Rate Beer a 1.84 of 5. And Untapped a 2.86 of 5. And again, this is a 4.7% ABV beer. Pretty typical for American adjunct lagers. So let's kind of run down the list. Where do you guys stand on the taste, the smell, mouthfeel?
None of it's offensive.
Appearance.
Nothing stands out. I think it's middle of the road. It's agreeable.
I have to say the first one was much better. The one out of the bottle has been. I don't know if I would go with skunky, but close to that, it's just stale, and it's very syrupy now. It does, as I said the first time, it does have more hop flavor to it than an ordinary American lager would have. Lots of sort of grassy notes from some of the, as I said, German noble hops, I believe.
Yeah.
But, it's fading.
It's not, it's not amazing.
And my beer is not warm by any means.
Well, I'm wondering, too, how old it is. And I will definitely say this. I'm wondering how old this is. Like, how long was this in the store? We're not in Pittsburgh.
Is there a discernible drink by date?
Not that I saw.
On the bottle.
Mine is ill.
0438-0800.
It was brewed in 1938.
Brewed in 1938.
April of 1938.
That explains it.
Yeah, right before the war began in Europe.
So this is a decades old beer. No, we just don't know. I'm not sure how old it is. I might look that up and put that on the website later if we try and translate the code. So appearance wasn't anything. It was not like crystal clear or anything, but it was fairly translucent.
Appropriate.
Yeah. A decent head, but the head fades pretty quickly. Not too... And I actually think the smell, when you first pour it, is pretty good. The flavor, is there anything stand out about the flavor, the mouthfeel at all? It's pretty... Again, the hops you've gotten, but...
Yeah. The mouthfeel, I would say again, that's sort of the syrupiness. It's sort of like a sticky syrupy that comes from the adjuncts. It's not clean.
It's a little soda poppy.
And the description of American lager says it should be well attenuated, and that means that it shouldn't be sugary. It should be dry.
Yeah.
And it definitely is not dry.
Yeah, I would agree. It's drier than some beers, but it's definitely kind of a. It is a little soda poppy.
Well, and back to the Ray and all these things that we were talking about, brand identity and Pittsburgh, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You're basically drinking alcoholic corn pops.
Mm-hmm.
What is manly about that exactly? Why this style beer for I'm a Man? And the other, I don't know if you mentioned this, but it used to say that beer drinker's beer.
Uh-huh.
That's what it used to say. Which I guess is technically true of every beer if you're drinking beer, drinker's beer. But, I mean, why that? Why didn't it be like, you know?
Well, I remember Amstel Light borrowed that. The light beer drinker's beer or something like that?
The beer drinker's light beer, I think, is what Amstel was.
They kind of,
yeah.
If you're going to be a man, why not drink Imperial whiskey from Pennsylvania? Why are you drinking...
Yeah, like I'm a Russian Imperial Stout guy, and that makes me feel like I'm about to go conquer a small country.
Part of it might be the fact that the corn and corn byproducts are so heavily subsidized, and they become so cheap. I mean, they're in everything. Sure. You know, from plastics to food. I mean, and we could go 2 hours on that. But yeah, I think it probably comes down again to a profit margin.
No, I think that's a big part of it.
It's less about taste and more about this would suffice and we can make a good amount of money.
So what matters to Ray is that it says Iron City on the bottle and not what's actually in the bottle.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I think you could definitely say that. Also, Iron City, we would gladly accept your sponsorship of the podcast. Oh, anyway. No, it's great. I think
we threw all the other beers under the bus after this if Iron City were to
come. Probably. It depends on how much they give us. We may only do like 10 more episodes after that and then call it a day.
If we're talking like a free jet.
Like what kind of jet, Clayman?
Power washer, pressure washer jet.
Oh, a pressure washer jet.
Yeah.
Clayman, guys, loves pressure washers. Clayman, if you could pressure wash your house every week, would you?
No.
What if you could have someone else do it for you?
Probably not. It's not good for it.
Shut up, Clayman. Anyways, well, I'll tell you what, guys, why don't you give me... Your ratings. Cam, you're a guest. I'm going to let you go first.
Scale of 1 to 5, Cam.
Yeah.
5 being the top notch.
And we're grading this on any beer. Best
appearance, best aroma.
Or just as to its own self. What it's trying
use
to
your own conscience. In my mind, I think of it as, the way I've kind of thought of it is a 0 is undrinkable, right? A 5 is a beer that I would drink... oh my god, a 5 is a beer that I would readily drink almost any time I come across it. An example for me might be Samuel Smith's Oatmeal Porter. I really love that beer, and for me it's pretty perfectly balanced and rounded. But I mean, there's a host of different ones. But so for me, like when I say that like a beer is, I think Qingdao, I said, was like a 2.5, something like that. So, I mean, it's not a mind-blowing beer. It didn't change my life, but it's a solid go-to beer. Yeah.
I will say, I think it does a decent job at being what it's supposed to be. There's mm-hmm. no off flavors. There's nothing wrong with any cardboardy or oxidization. I didn't taste any. There's some of that corny flavor to it, but I think that's on purpose. On the scale of what it's supposed to be, I'd give it a 3.5-ish. On a 0 is undrinkable, 5 is the best beer in the world, I'd give it a 0.75.
A 0.75?
Wow.
That's the worst rating any beer has gotten so far.
Well, I mean, it's just, it's not supposed to be good. It's supposed to be something that you drink quickly while it's cold.
No, it is absolutely, I drink it while it's cold beer, right. Yeah. That's fair. That's very fair. Well, Jason, and it should be said, we have put on our bow ties that Cam bought us.
Correct.
What? Pardon me?
Correct.
And so we are in our pink bow ties, so we're ready. Clayman are true gentlemen. So, Clayman, please, in the most genteel of ways, give us your review.
Middle of the road for me, it's a solid 3. I would not turn it down. I would drink it. I wouldn't necessarily look for it in the store, but if it was there and I couldn't find something else I wanted, I'd buy it. But for me, it just doesn't, I mean, it's not bad. It's just, you know, it's far above Bud Light, that I'll say that.
Cool. Yeah.
That's going to be my marker.
No, I think that's going to be your low point, at least for a while.
Yeah.
I would say I would give it probably a 2.
It does not do well when it gets warm.
Yeah, you could feel it. It gets sweeter as it gets warmer. It's got a little too much skunkiness for me. Now, again, I will say this, and I'm going to be very, very honest. I want to try a couple of these when I know exactly how old they are. When I don't know, like, I want to go to Pittsburgh. I want to have some that are fresh and have stayed cold. Well, after they've been shipped in from Latrobe. Or Latrobe, either one. Six and one.
Just go there.
Go straight to the place. And,
yeah.
That's very fair. And but really, like just try one fresh, though. And make sure that it's not just that maybe this is not aged well, that which is possible. I'm the first to admit that. But what we have here, what we have available, I'm going to give it 2 stars. It's just, I mean, I would drink it. I wouldn't look for it. If it was, I would pick it over some beers, but not others for like a camping trip or fishing or something.
Yeah, the other thing that may have changed the taste with us, all three, would be the addition of the pretzels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first one we had, no food. So that may have a little something to do with it. I would think it would be pretty benign, though.
Maybe it's because we're sitting under these lights in Eric's kitchen. They're so bright.
It's pure light.
It is pure light. It is, Clayman is burning. Have you guys ever seen the movie Blade? When one of those, Clayman, quit adjusting your microphone as a sun umbrella. It's a lot like that. Clayman looks like when sunlight hits a vampire in the Blade series of films. So smoke is peeling off him. It's very Scotch Irish. Oh, yeah. No, that's a compliment.
Who would win between Blade and Lestat from Anne Rice novels?
In what? What is the...
In battle to the vampire death.
Blade would murder him almost immediately.
But is there really death for a vampire?
Absolutely.
In the second time, death. For once. Oh, second
true.
Death.
True. Thank you.
Yeah. First stake to the heart.
And I've got nothing against Lestat. I saw that movie in the theater with my friends Jarrell, J-Dog, Joe, and Lee. Because we were in college and none of us had TVs, and we went to the theater and saw Tom Cruise and Christian Slater and Brad Pitt in a movie. And we're like, it's about vampires. It's going to be badass. And then it was that movie. And it was okay. I won't lie. I enjoyed
Dunst
it.
As a baby vampire.
Baby vampire Kirsten Dunst. She won an Oscar for that, right? Best Supporting Actress?
Probably Best Actress of All Time Oscar.
For that movie.
Lifetime Award. That's
a Lifetime Achievement.
Lifetime Achievement. Well, she had achieved a lot already. Guys, well, I'll tell you what. I think that is everything. Is there any... Oh, we got plugs. Cam, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I do. I would like to plug Wolf Hills Brewing Company in Abingdon, Virginia. We do our best to be a local brewery and brew world-class beer, so you should come check us out. And also, as I said at the beginning, I'd like to keg that too. Do you have that keg tool?
That keg tool, you would like that.
I'd like to plug my good friend Duke Kegley, who runs Kegley and Company, clothes for men, gentlemen, that is, and where all our bow ties came from.
Excellent.
Nice.
Excellent. How about you, Jason Clayman?
I'm a former employee of Kegley and Company.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good wasper.
Yeah. So.
And a fraternity brother of ours.
I'll give a plug to my neighbor. For her store, Catbird's Wine.
Mm.
They do have several beers that we could find there. And quite a selection. You can order anything that you would like. Also have a great selection of wine, various cheeses, lots of things in there. So if you're in town, check them out.
Awesome. And I'm going to go a little different. I'm going to, normally I always shout out to Wolf Hills, of course, where I do trivia.
Chuck's mom.
I would like to do a shout-out for Chuck's mom. I will find a picture of her and put it on the website. No, I'm not going to do that. That doesn't seem appropriate. But I will. You know what? Maybe I will. Who knows? Guys, I do want to give a shout-out, give a plug for the Appalachian League of Baseball. Appalachian League Baseball is a rookie-level baseball league with teams in places like Bluefield, which is a West Virginia, Virginia town, Princeton, West Virginia, Pulaski, Virginia, Danville, Virginia, Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia, Kingsport, Tennessee, Greenville, Tennessee, Johnson City, Tennessee, and Elizabethton, Tennessee, and I think a couple other teams too. And it's great. It's very inexpensive. It's a wonderful way to watch the sport of baseball. And if you're minor league baseball in general, support it. It's great. It's inexpensive. Those are kids who are playing for the love of the game. But if you have the chance to see a rookie league team like an Appalachian League team play, please take advantage of it. It is a real joy. You're going to feel like you're in a Norman Rockwell painting. So awesome. Is there anything else, guys?
I'm done.
You're done. Claiming you've checked your phone, so I knew you were ready to go home. And what are you going to do tonight, Claiming?
I need to go to Walgreens.
What are you going to get at Walgreens?
Old Milwaukee.
We are
chocolate-covered cherry cordials.
Yes.
Your daughter likes those, right? Oh, no, she likes the blueberries, right?
Swedish fish, depending on the old Milwaukee. God. I call that a grumpy old man.
Guys, you heard it here first. Swedish fish in an old Milwaukee is called a grumpy old man. We will be having that when we review old Milwaukee. We actually have a guest already lined up for that. We'll have to announce that soon. But all right, well, cats and kittens, that'll do it for this episode of Pickled Eggs and Cold Beer. Again, I'd like to thank our guest, Cam Bell, for coming and shooting the bull with us and taking time out of his day. I'd also like to tell you that the music used in this episode was Dr. Jazz, recorded way back in 1926 by Morton's Red Hot Peppers, one of Jelly Roll Morton's hustles. We'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, check us out on Facebook or Twitter or on our website, pickledeggsandcoldbeer.com, for more content. Also, please consider rating us on iTunes or Stitcher. That can really help us and improve our listenership. And we would be very, very grateful if you would consider doing as much. Please remember to use common sense. I'm Southern. Please remember to use common sense when consuming alcohol. Don't drink and drive. And we'll see you next week for another episode. Cheers, and God save the great city of Pittsburgh.